With the baptisms we have today, two of them actually, I'd like to speak to you for just a moment on the sacrament of baptism. It's a wonderful way to start the new year. Last week, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we were able to share together. And today, the sacrament of baptism, as these men come forward making a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and making themselves available to baptism. So just briefly, as in accordance with our directory of worship and also my desire, is to speak on baptism at the occasion of such. And so I'll begin with a question that we find in our shorter catechism. Those of you who have memorized all 106 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism questions, here is number 94. I'm sure you can tell me what it is before I read it to you. Maybe not. But it is, of course, what is baptism? Baptism is the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It does signify and seal our ingrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's. Now, there are volumes written on baptism using this answer here as its cornerstone to begin the discussion. And I simply want to point out that there are three things that are brought forward in the sacrament of baptism, and they're given here. It is an ingrafting into Christ. I'll save that one because I want to speak more about that one in fuller and at length. Secondly, a partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. This is all a part of God's covenant. God has made a covenant with his people that he would be our God and we would be his people. And then he put things in place to teach us and to bring us closer into communion with him through his grace being shared with us. What we're doing right now is an aspect of the means of grace, the word being read to you, the speaking of the word to you, the fellowship of which we share, the sacraments of baptism, the sacrament of communion. Those are all instruments of grace. Well, they are available, and by being baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son, you are saying that I will make myself available to those means. You are giving yourself to the benefits of the covenant of grace. That means you have to come to church. That means you have to be a part of these things. You're taking that privilege on and that responsibility. So let me encourage you in your church attendance. I somewhat jokingly say if all of our folks showed up on the same shift, we'd be in the balcony and around the edges, but we have our shifts. I'd like to see you all here at the same time. The third part is the engagement to be the Lord's. Do you know whose you are? Do you know to whom you belong? Do you know that you are the Lord Jesus Christ? You are a property, if I can use that word, of the Lord's. You are not your own. Your name is given to you as one who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it speaks of in the book of Revelation, the name of the Lord is written upon our foreheads. Now, not literally, but by our actions, by our words, by the things we do. Do we show ourselves to be in this engagement, to be that of the Lord Jesus Christ? All right, now, as I said, I want to speak a little bit more fully on this idea of engrafting into Christ. I titled this message, Baptized into Christ. What does it mean to be engrafted? A horticultural term many of you are aware of. But let's speak of this in spiritual terms. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Paul must have known that the Westminster divines were going to ask the question, what is baptism? And that they were going to answer it by saying an ingrafting into Jesus Christ. Because I can go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 10, and you find an answer. And it is a very full answer. I will begin reading at verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God." I'll end our reading there, and I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. And again, the volume and the depth of material here that Paul has given us. Please note all that is going on with Jesus Christ. And because you are His, because you bear His name, and as the divines have stated in the confessional answer, you are engrafted, made into, made to be a part of that which is Jesus Christ. As Paul writes, these things that our Lord Jesus Christ went through for you, you have gone through and are now the recipient of the blessings that are associated with what Paul has given us. We were buried with Him through baptism into death. We have all died. Through Jesus Christ and the benefit of His death on the cross. So we ask the question, why did Jesus Christ die? Clay mentioned it in his prayer. He died for the salvation of His people. His death, He died to sin. You gain the benefit of the outcome of that death as though you had done it yourself. However, you dying yourself for your sin would not pay the penalty. I'm sorry, we just don't have the value necessary to pay the debt of our sin to the holy and just Father. But Jesus died. He paid that debt. He paid that debt for you. So the benefits of His death I have received. The benefits of His death before the Father you have received. But thankfully, gloriously, the death was not all that Jesus Christ did for you and I. That would, if I could stop there, that would be grace enough, because in Jesus Christ's death, our sin before the Father has been atoned for. It's done. It's finished. But yet, as is obvious, there is no life yet out of that work of Jesus Christ. There is that repentance of sin. There is that paid for sin. But there is no life yet out of that. And so the resurrection. And Paul writes that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. The power of the grave, the power of death, has no power over you in the spiritual realm. The physical death, yes. As we think on Miss Lucille this morning, my mentor, Dr. Frank Kick, had a sermon 5 minutes after death. Can you imagine? We can't, but give it a try. Can you imagine what Miss Lucille saw and witnessed those first 5 minutes after her passing? The mind cannot contain the glory of all that she consumed there in an instant. That is yours. That is yours. That is the promise. That is what's waiting you. Because Jesus Christ has already died to sin. He has raised Him. Our Father has raised Him in glory. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And as we are engrafted through Him, through this act of baptism, through being saved by His grace, you too you as well are there. And you have that beautiful glorification awaiting you. Can our imaginations think of such things? Only in scant fashion. Only in scant fashion. Because you see, anyone who has died from the burden, from the consumption of sin. People ask me, said, Pastor Tim, how can you speak so confidently? How can you speak so confidently of knowing that heaven is yours? How can you speak so confidently of knowing that the grace of God is yours and salvation? You know all these things. Right there. The Holy Spirit tells us. We Christians, we should walk around with this great expression of joy, even in the darkest times. And I know it's hard. But just think, this life will pass. And just like Miss Lucille this morning, I imagine she heard the angels crying out and echoing out the call of a new one that has come home. Escorted her to her place at that table, the great banquet that awaits us all. Presley, sitting there. Where you been? John in the book of Revelation actually prays for that day to come. Come, Lord Jesus, even today. So what does it mean to be baptized? Many times we say it's an outward showing of an inward work already done. Because these men that I'm about to bring before you to be baptized, they have each told us of their coming to understand and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. But it was music to my ears because both of them yearn to learn more. They want to know more. And for one who enjoys teaching, that's great to hear. But then the act of baptism, as we do this, it's a symbol. It has symbolic nature to it. But it's a symbol that shows that we have been sealed. We have been consumed. And we are confined. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will never, ever, ever belong to anyone else. All eternity is yours. Because of what Paul writes in the Roman book, what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us that is ours, all of that is signified and wrapped up in a few drops of sprinkling water across one's brow. What does it mean to be baptized? It means I'm showing the world I belong to Jesus Christ. I have His name written on my forehead. I am His. He is mine. And may I live every day acknowledging that in whatever way I can. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask Dwayne and Terrell Moore and Mr. Adam McElfrish if they would join me here, please. Looking sharp, buddy. Looking sharp. Adam, Terrell, and Dwayne met with a session on Tuesday evening, and we heard their testimony and their profession of faith, if you will, and the session readily accepted their desire to be members of this church, and so technically they are already members of the church, but as I've said many times, I like to bring them before you. So you can hear these questions that they responded to, and you can hear their confession of Jesus Christ yourself. But it is also to remind you of the questions you answered, and so to remind yourself of what you attested to as you became members of this church. And so I'd like to go through these questions once more with these three, and I pray they answer the same way they did Tuesday night. Everything would be good if they did, and I'm sure they will. So here we are. And it is the same seven questions we looked at on Tuesday night. Do you acknowledge yourself to be a sinner in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure, except for the hope in His love and mercy? Do you? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And have you received Him, and do you trust in Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the Gospels? Have you done that? Do you believe the Scripture of the Old and New Testaments to be the written Word of God, the only perfect rule of faith and practice? Do you? Do you now promise in humble reliance upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? Will you do that? Do you accept the doctrines and principles of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, so far as you understand them, as agreeable to and founded on the Word of God? Do you do that? Do you promise, with the Lord's help, to be faithful in the performance of your Christian duties, both in private life and in the work of the church? Do you? And then finally, do you submit yourself in the spirit of love to the government and discipline of this church and seek the peace, purity, and prosperity of this congregation so long as you are a member of it? Will you? Excellent. 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 Then once again, welcome you here. God bless you. Ms. Terrell, wonderful to have you. Dwayne, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we do come today welcoming these here into our midst. Thank you for bringing them to us. Thank you so much, Lord, that they are now part of the body here at New Sterling. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, I would like to shift gears a bit and move into a service of baptism. And to do that, I'd like to ask Dwayne and Terrell, if you would, to sit. If I could ask Mr. Ken Houck. Scared Kurt to death. You see that? Ken Houck to come and join me, and Miss Dillon to come up and join her husband. If I could ask you, Dillon, if you would stay on my left and Adam over here, that way you can see better. As I said, Adam came to us on Tuesday evening making a profession of faith, and I've had several conversations with him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he acknowledges and understands who he is, but as I mentioned, has a hungry heart. And so we look forward to watching this young man grow with his family, his young daughter, as they are being raised here in this church. And so, Adam, the thing you've been waiting for, if I could ask you to take a knee right there. Adam Leroy McElfresh, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May His grace be about you always. May His love be overflowing in your heart, and may you truly be one that is proud to profess the name of Jesus Christ, leading your wife, leading your daughter, and all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Rise, young man. God bless you. God bless you. If I could ask you to return to your seat now. Bless you, sir. Dwayne, see, I did it again. And I'd like to ask Mr. Clay if he would join us here. Just turn around just a second. Let me say, you know, preacher's got to say a few words. Terrell is coming to us from Forest Lake, Forest Heights, Forest Park. I knew when I began that sentence I would not know where she was going. A church over in Statesville. And transferring her letter here to us. And Dwayne is coming in making a profession of faith. And they've been around here a bit over the last year and so, and have helped out greatly and have pitched in and become truly a part of our church. And just getting this part of it done is something we've truly looked for and wanted to do. And then when I found that Dwayne had not been baptized, all right, a great pleasure that I get to be a part of, to be a part of this man's spiritual life in baptism. So, Dwayne, if I could ask you to turn there And if you would, just have a seat. Dwayne Huey. You told me Dwayne. Huey Dwayne. See, I'm just really messing it. Thank you for your patience with me today. God bless you. Huey Dwayne Moore. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, O Lord, that your blessings be upon this man and his family. Open his heart so that he might fully learn and know all there is to know about you. Teach him and guide him and lead him. Help him as he leads his family, Lord, and as the man that you would have. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray all this. Amen and amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you so much and welcome. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless.